You're listening to the Faith Church Podcast, hosted by Pastor Niall and Taylor Clough. We pray that you will be blessed by today's teaching.
And so I want to speak to you this morning with the title, How to Know God Intimately. And I want you to put that down as your title this morning on your piece of paper. You can give us some lights. Thank you, guys. And I want you just to put it down in your notes, How to Know God Intimately. Amen. How to Know God Intimately. How to know God intimately. Now, I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask the guys to message Jason downstairs with Faith Kids, and they can tell the fire people that they can hit the siren for the children. I got a message while I was up here. I was on my phone, not because I was trying to be rude or whatever, but the kids at the moment, your children have Big Sunday, and they've got the fire trucks here, and they all want to hear the siren. So they were asking, please, can we push the siren button? So if you do hear something, please don't run to the nearest fire exit. Everything is okay. Amen? So if you guys can just let Jason know that the kids can do their thing and just don't get a fright. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to start off this morning by laying a foundation, which I'll teach on today and next week's Sunday. So don't miss church. Did you enjoy last week's Sunday? I thought my wife did a fantastic thing. Amen. All the women were blessed. She preached and taught so well, and I'm very grateful. My wife is not a pastor's wife. She's a pastor. Amen. Just want to make it clear to anybody. She's a minister of the gospel. She's not Pastor Niall's wife. She's Pastor Taylor, and she's a pastor. Probably better than me as well. Amen. Turn to Philippians 3, verse 7. I'm going to read there this morning. While you're turning there, I want to make two announcements. Number one, for those of you who know a gospel singer in our country, his name is Once More Six. I don't know if you know about him. But he's going to be here on the 15th of June. Sunday, the 15th of June, we're going to be hosting in the evening Jesus and the Church Experience with Once More Six. And we're believing for thousands of people to come through on that Sunday night. We'll have church as per usual in the morning. And then at the evening, I believe 4 p.m., we start. And it's going to be a worship experience. Many people are going to be saved. So I want to invite you to join us. And then I literally have 12 minutes left. So if you're watching us on TV, just go across onto our YouTube page now, please. Because there's no ways that I can do this in 12 minutes, what I'm trying to do. But I was going to ask somebody to come up, but I'll just tell you about it. They can put it on the screen. This coming Saturday, if you're in the Ganubi area, and even if you're not in the Ganubi area, it's an invite to you to join us for the Jericho Walk. And they'll put it onto the LED for you to have a look at. And this is a walk that's taking place, a walk of faith. It's taking place in the Ganubi area. I believe it's going to be the first of many. It's a vision that God had given Rian in the church. And Gershwin's been working alongside him. And it's not just a faith church thing. It's multiple churches that are going to be a part of it. I believe it's Shofar East London is a part of it. Link FM will be a part of it as well. New Life. I believe Ganubi Presbyterian, Ganubi Baptist are also going to be a part of it. I think there's an Enkir Kerk as well. And God's people are all people. Amen. So we want to invite you to join us. Yes, it's a 5-kilometer walk. God will help you and give you grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Unless you want to be at one of the water stations, you can be there and watch and pray. Amen. But I want to invite you to be a part of that. It's going to be awesome. And I know that God's going to do something. Then I have one more announcement. I don't have the date for it yet, but say with me, all night prayer. We're going to have all night prayer sometime soon. So I know you're excited about that. We're going to be communicating very soon, our all-night prayer. And we'll make sure that we're ready for this one because breakfast took a bit long last time. Not because of Uncle General or anything, because of, I didn't know there was going to be 750 people that were going to pray from 6 p.m. the previous night till 6 a.m. the next day. I felt like them of little faith. Lord, send them away. We don't have enough food for them. So we'll make sure that we are adequately prepared. And we had an incredible all-night prayer the last time. My daughter was born on that all-night prayer. So I remember, I don't know how many of you remember that. I was praying and then I would run off and drive to the hospital, then be there. Then after I'm okay, is everything okay? She's not here yet. Come back to prayer. Kabro kashia, kabranda kadia. Okay, I need to go quickly. And it was an incredible time. We saw so many people come through and we're going to be communicating shortly when all night prayer is going to take place. And all of you that make it to the next morning at 6 a.m., we will have breakfast for all of you as a reward for praying that long. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I thought you'd be excited about that. So that's what I wanted to tell you. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read this morning. This is what we're going to be teaching on today and next week. Philippians 3, verse 7 is the Apostle Paul writing. And he says this. He says, but what things were gained to me, These I have counted a loss for Christ. Now listen to what I'm speaking on right now this morning, because it's a beautiful thing that we would experience the presence of God like we did this morning. And it's important because it goes with what I'm going to say right now. And that presence, the presence of our God in our lives is the most important thing of it all. That if we have the Lord, we have everything that we need. You might not have everything you want, but if you have the Lord, you have everything that you need. Sometimes we're very materialistic people, and I don't have a problem with God giving people things. I have problems when the things become our God. And I've prayed a prayer, a dangerous prayer before, and I would encourage you to pray it because it will always keep you on the right foot, is that, Lord, never give me anything that would take your place in my life. Any blessing, any testimony, any breakthrough, if you know, because the Lord knows everything, if it was ever going to take your place in my life, may I never, ever have it. Because I don't want anything that could take his place. Amen? You with me? So I want to talk into how to know God intimately, because this is so important. This is probably one of the most important messages you can ever hear. And I've spoken on intimacy with God many times. But this morning, there's something fresh that the Holy Spirit wants to say to every one of us. Amen? And so that's why we receive the word of grace with meekness. No matter how many times we've been in church, every time with meekness, we receive the grace of God and the word of grace. So I want to speak this morning of how to know God more intimately, or how to know God intimately. And the Bible says in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, in other words, what was once a gain to me, these things, Paul says, I have counted them a loss for Christ. He says in verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Listen to what he's saying. I count them as rubbish. One translation says, I count it as garbage. I count it as trash. I count it as nothing. He says, I count it all as garbage. Then look at what the Apostle Paul is writing. He says here, I count all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I'm not teaching on righteousness today, but we've got to realize that our righteousness doesn't come because we do right things. It comes unto us, and we receive the gift of righteousness because of what Jesus did. And because we receive the gift of righteousness, we live righteous. We're not living righteous to get righteousness. We are righteous by the blood of Christ, and therefore the decisions that we make reflect accordingly. It's important we recognize that. But it says here, it says that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, here's the phrase that we're going to speak into this morning. That I may know him. That I may know him. That I might know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death. Verse 10 again, that I may know him. We're talking here of the Apostle Paul. Outside of Jesus Christ, I would dare to say that probably the most effective individual to ever walk the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul, did significant things for the house of God, for the church of Jesus Christ, and all that he operated in. I would dare to say probably the most effective Christian to ever walk the face of the earth, and we can see insight into the mentality and the posture that this great man of God, he took this thing that everything that I once counted as gain, I counted as garbage, I counted as trash. I count it as a loss that I might gain the excellency, the infinite value of knowing the Lord. He says in verse 10, that I may know him. There is nothing greater, church, an online church. There is nothing more greater than knowing the Lord. Than knowing him personally, knowing him intimately. There is nothing else that is greater. This shows us that the desire of the Apostle Paul was that I desire to know the Lord. This was his desire. This was his hunger as a great man of God. He said that I may know him. And you know what I find interesting? That he counted every accolade that he had gained as nothing compared to knowing the Lord. And he wasn't a man that, you know, he was a man that could have boasted in the natural if he wanted to boast. He was a man that was extremely intellectual, extremely studied. Studied under the great Gamaliel, who even to this day, many academics and theologians refer him to as one of the greatest minds to ever exist. He trained under this individual. He was part of the Pharisees that obeyed the strictest rules of the law. a pure-blooded Israelite, part of the tribe of Benjamin. And Paul begins to even tell about all of his accolades in the book of Philippians. And you could have read it a bit further up in verse 3, but he names all of the things that he could have boasted in if he wanted to boast in it. But then he says, but I count it all as loss. In other words, everything that I've attained, everything that I've done, they're not necessarily bad things, but it's nothing compared to the value of knowing the Lord. Everything that you have right now, church, whatever it is that you're operating in right now, whether your degrees, whether it is your house, whether it is your financial status, your relationships, whatever, no matter where you've come from or what you have, none of that can compare to the thing of knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord far exceeds everything else. Nothing can even meet that same level of value that it carries. To say that I truly know the God of creation. See, Paul had many accolades, but they meant nothing to him in the light of intimately knowing the Lord. He had many reasons to boast that he could have boasted in his flesh. He could have boasted in all of his achievements, but he said that this is all rubbish when compared to the value of knowing the Lord. If I had to ask you this morning, church, and I'm not asking you to answer this right now, but I'm asking you to reflect on it this morning. And as we go throughout this week and build up to part two next week, I'm asking you today, what is the greatest thing in your life? If I had to ask you right now and you had to weigh in and look at your life right now and look it through one window and look at all the things that you've been through, all of the accolades, all of the achievements, all of the stuff that you face and all of the things that you have, what would be the greatest thing in your life right now? I think the sad reality is that we would have a mix of answers, but I want to say to you this morning that nothing can compare to the value of knowing the Lord, that the greatest thing that you could ever receive is intimacy and knowing God personally. Say amen. Because if you have the Lord, you have everything that you ever need. You hear me say this before, and I say it again. Everything minus God equals nothing. But if you have God, you have everything that you need. You can have everything that men pursue and have ambition to attain. But if you have not the Lord, you have nothing to boast in. Money is here today and gone tomorrow. Cars are here today and gone tomorrow. Then a quantum scratches your car and there's a scratch there now. Shout out to, if you're a taxi driver, shout out. I pray for them. Amen. Nothing compares to the infinite value of knowing the Lord. Nothing. See, the truth is knowing God is the single greatest and most important thing of all. This is the view of the Apostle Paul. I want to read the same portion of Scripture to you this morning, but I want you to have a look on your screens in the Amplified Classic. And if you've got your electronic Bible, you can go there as well, but it's going to be on the screen for you. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but in the Amplified Classic, I think that it uses some profound words. It says this, Philippians 3, 7, it says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. He said, yes, furthermore, I count everything. Now listen to these words. He says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared, here are my favorite words, I highlighted this in my Bible, compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Look at those words, the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more and deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. Are you seeing that? It goes on to say, for His sake I have lost everything and I considered all to be mere rubbish, to be refuse, to be dregs, in order that I may win, I may gain Christ the Anointed One, and that I may actually be found and known as in Him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, its ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing the genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One. The truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. Look at verse 10, Amplified Classic. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him. It's enough for us just to pack up here and go home. that I may know him. Then he says that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over other believers. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit and his likeness, even to his death in the hope. I want to make an observation here today, and I would encourage you to write it down, that there's a growing in knowing, that there's a growing in our intimacy with God, that there, it doesn't matter how what level you're at today, whether you might say I'm deeply, intimately acquainted with the Lord, or maybe you might be saying I'm still a newbie on the scene in the church, or maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. I'm grateful because today is the starting line for you. But I want to tell you today that there's a growing in knowing. That there's a growing in our intimacy with God. As much as you knew him yesterday, today is a new day. And that there is more for you to learn about God today, because he is infinite. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He is bigger than the biggest, mightier than the mightiest, stronger than the strongest, greater than the greatest. He's high and lifted above all things. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so there's something new for you to learn today, church. There's something new for me to learn today about the God of creation. There's a growing in knowing. Look at this with me in 2 Peter. They'll put it on your screen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in the grace and of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can grow in grace and you can grow in knowledge. But growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. When we look in the Bible, and specifically if we look at Philippians, where the Bible says that I may know him, that I might be intimately acquainted with the Lord. That word know in the Greek is the word gnosko. And it's not just about intellectually knowing God. That word in the Greek, it is a Jewish idiom for the sexual union between a husband and a wife. In other words, when the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not talking about knowing God intellectually, but knowing God intimately. And the Bible continuously uses this word that draws the comparison of a man and a woman, or a husband and a wife, when they're joined in union. That when the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not talking about I know God. It's talking about I know God. I'm connected to the Lord. You see, this is what we have to understand, because in the year 2025, you can't afford not to know your God. I assure you today, if you are not intimate with God, start today. Because if you're not intimate with God, if you're casual, you'll become a casualty. We're living in a day where the church is being refined by fire. We're living in a day where those that are being sifted to the left and to the right, that what is presented to him would be a pure bride without spot or wrinkle. The bride is being prepared, not the girlfriend or the side chick. Because we're a bride, we're dressed in white, we're pure. And it's time that we recognize that the house of God is a pure house. The house of God is a holy house. And this word, it speaks of the sexual unit between a husband and a wife. In other words, it's showing us that Paul's pursuit wasn't to know about Christ, but it was to know Christ intimately and personally. This word in the Greek, gnosko, and I know I'm definitely mispronouncing it. That's what it speaks about. It talks about an intimate connection. As a husband knows his wife sexually, so a man must know God deeply, not just mind, not just mouth, but a connection with God. It talks about a deep connection. You see, if we even go across, if you go into the Old Testament, which is Hebrew, you look at the Hebrew, and wherever the Bible talks about knowing God, it uses the word yada. And that word yada is found in two very interesting places. And I remember studying this even when I was in Bible school, because it's found in the scripture verse that many of us like to quote, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, verse 32, at the latter part of that same verse, it says this, but the people that know their God, they shall be and carry out not just exploits, great exploits. Look at it. It says this, middle part. But the people who do yada, their God, they shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. In other words, it's not saying but the people that know of their God. It's saying but the people that are intimately acquainted with their God, they shall have strength and exploits. In other words, intimacy has a fruit. Intimacy has an evidence. Intimacy isn't confessing that I'm close to Him. It shows forth without you speaking. If you have to tell people that you're intimate with God, you're not intimate with God. They can see it before you say it. They can feel it before you even walk in the room. Come on, are you here today? I know that you're soaking in worship, but come on. That I might know Him. The word there in Daniel 11:32, that I might yada, Hebrew. It talks about as a husband knows his wife. And you know where else it's found? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam yada Eve. Adam knew Eve. It talks about intimate connection. Now I want to ask you the question, do you know the Lord? And at what depth do you know Him? Because there's a growing in knowing. And every day, ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters of Faith Church, every day we're pressing in deeper. Every day we want to know Him more. That no matter the testimony, no matter the breakthrough, no matter the miracle, no matter what He might do for us, no matter where we are, that I may know Him. This is our heart's posture. May we never graduate from that mindset. May you never leave that type of posture, that amidst all that He does for us, amidst the land of milk and honey, amidst the breakthrough, amidst the flow of prosperity, amidst the healing power of God, amidst the anointing of God upon your life, may you always be in the place, may I know Him. I count everything as a loss that I might know the Lord. See, that's the thing, everybody. If I mention prosperity, people get nervous because that message is, oh, you can't preach. No, the problem with prosperity is that when He releases it to people, prosperity becomes their God and God's nowhere to be seen anymore. That's why there's nothing wrong with having wealth. The problem is if the wealth has you. And few people can have money and not love it. So we have to come to this place where my heart before the Lord today as we're worshiping God, Lord, that I may know You. I'm so grateful for the conferences. I'm so grateful for my encounters. I'm so grateful for what You've done in my life. But today is a new day. It's a new gathering. It's a new time. Lord, may I know You this morning. May I encounter You afresh this morning that I might become deeply acquainted with You. See, the Bible says in Genesis 4:1, now Adam knew his wife Eve. See, we see this interesting thing, and I'm just laying a foundation for what I'm going to teach on next week. I'm laying this down so that when we get into next week, we are ready and God can speak to us. But I find it very interesting. If you study your Bible and you look particularly in the Gospels and you see the many encounters that Jesus had with Pharisees and Sadducees, the wouldn't sees and the couldn't sees, as Dr. Rodney would call them. These guys that were academic, these guys that were trained, these guys that were following the law by the strictest way. They knew everything, they could quote everything, they lived for, you know, whatever. But they didn't know God intimately, they only knew God intellectually. And intimacy isn't a product of the head, it's a product of the heart. And these Pharisees and these religious leaders, they knew God, but they knew God intellectually. But the disciples, they didn't just know God, they knew God experientially. This is what irritated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Especially after Jesus ascended. And Peter, James, and John and the disciples, the apostles are operating now. And we read about it in the book of Acts. This is what made the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders so angry. Because what was on the scene now was a bunch of people that knew God intimately. You see, when you have intimacy engaged, impact is your fruit. Don't seek impact, seek intimacy. Intimacy is the root. Exploits is the fruit. Intimacy is the root. Exploits is the fruit. Intimacy is the root. Prosperity is the fruit. I know the Lord. Nothing has the ability to take me out because I know Him. I'm intimately acquainted with Him. I know the Lord. This is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't stand about the apostles. Because the Pharisees, they knew the Scripture, but they didn't know who was the embodiment of the Scripture. The Bible says here in John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says this: "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and we have seen." Listen to what he says now. He says, "We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." What does that show you, everybody? It doesn't show you just an intellectual understanding of God. It shows you a hands-on experience of God. They didn't just know God in their heads. They knew God in their hearts. It says this: "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and whom we have seen. We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." Acts chapter 4, verse 13, take it down as a reference, church. The Bible says this: "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." See, intimacy brings acceleration. Intimacy begins to put something on your life that some people won't like. But Peter, James, and John, they had an intimacy with God, that there was an unusual boldness, that they were unlearned, they were untrained, they weren't submitted to the same protocols and procedures as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yet when they could look upon Peter, they could not deny the boldness that these individuals had. Even when they were threatened with jail and eventually death, there was an unusual boldness on these people. And they said, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they said, "We can see that they've been with Jesus." Can people see that you've been with Jesus? Can they see upon the way that you live that you've been with Jesus? Someone just woke up. Come on. Can they see that you've been with the Lord? These guys, you read the book of Acts, they were getting killed, they were getting beaten, they were getting flogged, they were getting persecuted, they were facing situations, yet they couldn't be stopped, because when you know the Lord, it doesn't matter who's coming against you, because you know who's for you. It doesn't matter whose hands trying to push you backwards, because you know that there's a mighty hand in heaven pushing you forward. My prayer this morning is that your eyes would begin to see, your ears would begin to hear, your heart would begin to receive what God is doing. Come on, when I know the Lord, the death threats and the persecution and all that stuff can't stop you. Hallelujah. You read about these early church accounts and how the early church were fed to wild animals, how they were put on poles for the parties and they were dipped in kerosene or whatever oil and set on fire so that they could have their parties while Christians were burning on stakes. But we get upset because someone wrote something mean about us on social media. Or the newspaper says that we're a crazy church and we do this and we do that. Who gives a rip? Some of you believed until you came and you're like, "Oh wow, they're a lot worse than everybody said." No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Because when you know God, it doesn't matter what men try and say or men try and do. I know God. Nothing sustains the ability to stop me. And I want to pray in this church today that our priorities would get into place again, that our priorities would be repositioned, and that knowing the Lord would take the ultimate position in our lives, everybody, that we would know Him, that we'd be intimately acquainted with Him, because it's not about our intellectual advantage. It's about knowing Him intimately, knowing Him heart to heart, connection with God of creation. Because I've learned this: you can know Greek and not know God. You can know Hebrew and not know Him. You can know Aramaic and not know Adonai. It's not about the intellect, it's about the heart. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Do you know Him? I ask you the question in this room today: do you know Him? I preach like this when I do funerals. Do you know the Lord? But let's not have to wait until someone's in a box to ask the question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you intimately acquainted with Him? Are you connected with the Lord? See, there's a statement by a theologian. His name was J.I. Packer, and he's in heaven now. He said this. He says, "There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have the energy to serve Him, the boldness to share Him, and the contentment in Him." When you know the Lord, your contentment is in Him. When you know the Lord, you have an energy and a zeal to serve Him. When you know the Lord, everything about you begins to change. You have the boldness to share about Him. Jesus went to the extent to say this. Look at this, John 17:3. Have a look. Do you have a couple more minutes for me? Lock the doors. And I'm just joking. I've made that joke like 5 times. So you guys are merciful people because you've laughed all 5 times. But I can see I'm treading on, don't make the joke again. Look at this, John 17, verse 3. We're almost rounding out. John 17, verse 3, this is the words of Jesus, because Jesus is going to tell you what eternal life is, because we think eternal life is living forever. It's not. Everybody is going to live forever. You just get to choose where you live forever. People don't like hearing that sometimes. You don't get to choose if you live forever. You will live forever. You get to decide where you will live forever. How can I serve a God that sends people to hell? No, God has never sent anybody to hell. They send themselves. What do you mean? Even now it's like, I'm going to be offended. I'm about to punch this guy. No, no, no. Jesus is the invitation into heaven. You either receive him or you reject him. That's what it is. He's the invitation of the Father, died publicly so that we could receive him. John 17, 3, look at what Jesus says. This is actually Jesus praying. John 17 is the prayer of Christ. He's praying right now, and the Bible's recording, and it says this, and this is eternal life. He's going to describe eternal life. If anyone in the room here today, and many of you watching online, if you want to know and how to define accurately eternal life, if someone says to you, what is eternal life? You're not going to tell them it's living forever. Eternal life is this. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. You know what word that word know is? Gnosko, intimately acquainted with God. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jeremiah 9:23, this is one of my last verses for today. Look at this with me. Jeremiah 9:23. I think I quote this scripture probably every time I preach. I might not reference it, but I say it. Jeremiah 9:23. The Lord is speaking here, and it's recorded in Jeremiah 9:23, and it says this. Have a look with me. It says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory. So if you look in other translation, that word glory is the word boast. So when it says glory, it's talking about let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. So have a look at this on the screen with me. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Next verse. But let him who glories, or him who wants to boast, glory in this alone, that he understands and knows me. You know what that word is in the Hebrew? The word yada. The same one in Daniel 11:32, the same one in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, that he knows me. Let him that wants to glory, have a look at it again. So you can have all the wisdom, but don't boast in it. You can have all the riches, but don't boast in it. You can have all the power, all the strength, but don't boast in it. There is only one thing on this side of heaven that is worth boasting about. It isn't your G-Wagon. It isn't your nice Bucky or Hilux, whatever. It isn't any of that stuff. That stuff's all carnal, materialistic things. The only thing worth glorying in is in God Almighty, that I know him and I understand him. I'm not hitting against all of those other things. If you drive a Hilux, don't hide it when you drive out. Amen. Nothing wrong. I take Ford over Hilux though. Let me just throw that out there. No, please don't leave. Please don't leave. I'm just kidding. Just thought I'd put it out there. Pastor Bunde is leaving the building. Yo, some people are angry. I can hear certain comments. I'm just going to walk away from some... We can fight afterwards, not now. Let him that wants to glory, let him that wants to boast, let him that wants to show into something, him that wants to speak and boast and be proud of something, the only thing that is worth boasting about is the fact that I know the Lord. And so if you know the Lord, you have something to boast about. But if you don't know him, you might have wisdom, riches, and strength and everything else, but you have nothing to boast of. But when a man or a woman or a youth or a young adult or a child knows the Lord, the Bible says, let him who wants to glory, glory in this alone, that he knows and understands me. You see, it's time to come back to the basics, that I want to know the Lord. There is nothing that is more valuable. Church, please hear me in this building. There is nothing that is more valuable than knowing the Lord. You might be a young person here and say, my family left me nothing. But if they left you God, they left you everything. If your mother taught you to pray, she left you something. Your job is to not be ungrateful. Your job is to say, they left me with everything to create everything that I would need for my children and my children's children. If they gave you God, they gave you everything that you need. See, intimacy is never established accidentally, but rather it is established intentionally. If you want to enjoy genuine intimacy with God, we must discover and walk in the pattern that is responsible for intimacy in the scripture. Now, I promise you, this is the last verse I'm going to read to you, because next week, I promise you, at this point, they picked up stones to stone him. Next week, what I'm going to teach you is the five ways to know God. Because the Bible, as you would know, is full of patterns, principles. And there's a pattern that empowers us for intimacy with God, to know God deeply. And next week, I want to speak to you about what are these ways, the ways that we need to walk in. Because the Bible says, stand and ask for the ancient paths. It might be in 2025. We might have seen development in technology. We might see development in our everyday lives. We might see AI and all these other things. But let me tell you something. The one thing that AI can't do for you is give you intimacy with God. You can't ChatGPT intimacy with God. There's ancient paths that it doesn't matter how many technological developments we'll have. There's ancient paths that will never change. And if you want to know God intimately, you'll have to submit yourself to walk in those ways. The Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God, but Israel knew his acts. In other words, Israel saw the promises, Moses knew the person. Israel saw the manifestations, Moses saw the one that was responsible for the manifestations. Israel saw his hand, Moses saw him. Come on, in this church, I don't want to just be someone that sees the manna. I don't want to just be someone that sees the manifestation. I want to know the one that is responsible for all of these things. Moses knew his ways. Israel only knew his acts. Make up your mind in this church today. I want to know him. I want to be intimately acquainted with him. The Bible says that this man, Moses, he knew God face to face. That's what I'm going to be teaching next week. Jeremiah 6:16. Stand and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, that you might walk in it and find rest, the Bible says. And Israel responded to God and said, we'll not walk in it. In other words, you can be in this room, you can be watching online and make up your mind. I can preach till I'm blue in the face and you're going to still say, I'll not walk in it. We can never push our intimacy onto somebody else. You're responsible for your intimacy with God. We're going to end off with this scripture. And the church said, okay, you want me to end? Sure. It was a trap. Exodus 33 verse 1. Didn't tell you we're going to read the whole chapter of Exodus now. Exodus 33 verse 1. This is what I'm ending off with. Dan, get ready. Vocals, come up so you can stand here with an hour for me. Or stand with me for an hour. My English is gone. Just get up here. Exodus 33. Are you there? All right, tell the new person that we're going to end now. Promise. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you with me? Alrighty, I will give this land to your descendants. Verse 2, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites. Look at the person next to you and tell them it's going to be all ites. And if the person next to you is angry, tell them the cafe is busy opening right now. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, and I will not travel among you, God says. Listen to what God says. I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. God says, if I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. Eesh. When the people heard these stern words, they went into mourning, and they stopped wearing their jewelry and their fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Yanna. Okay. Remove your jewelry and your fine clothes while I decide what to do with you. So from the time that they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting. Listen to this very carefully, church. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. And everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrance of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. And as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And when the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. For Moses knew the ways of God, and Israel only knew his acts. The question is, are you still standing outside or are you inside? Said, Lord, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp. And this is what I like, because I believe that this church is being used as one to raise up this next portion where it says, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Let me make a side remark. I believe, God, this is an end time church for the next generation as well. We're not just a church with only young people. We are multi-generational, but I believe it's a strong prophetic thing that God's put on us to raise up the next generation, the people that love the presence of God. Verse 12 and 13 is our last part. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me when you will send me, or you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Look at that. You haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. Look at this next verse. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways. If it is true that you look favorably upon me, let me know your ways. Why? So that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. If you read that in the New King James, it says, let me know your way that I might know you. There are ways to knowing God. There are ancient paths that must be revealed in this church so that we can be a people that aren't a crowd, but we are a people of sons and daughters that know our God. That when we come and worship, we are not worshiping some foreign entity that is afar off, but we come knowing that we are intimately with the Father. We come knowing that He is here, He is with us, that we are in the midst of the One that is the Mighty One moving right here. You see, we are in that place where God is developing us and teaching us and refining us. That we would be a people that do know our God, that can be strong and carry out exploits. It says, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. You see, Moses didn't want the promised land without the promise keeper. But the truth is, many of us have traded. We'll take the promise. We don't really care about the one who gave it to us. We'll take the testimony, but forget the one who did it for us. This is why God warned Israel all the time. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget Him. Being in church and being a pastor, sometimes it can be a frustrating thing because there's some people that only know God when they're in a situation. They only know Jesus when they have a lump and a bump and the doctor tells them, get your affairs in order. They only know the Lord when the finances are seeming dry, but when there was plenty, they didn't want anything to do with the church. And you see, we're not those types of fickle people. We need to know God deeply, that whether I abound or whether I'm abased, I am content, because my contentment isn't in my condition. My contentment is in the covenant and the one who keeps His covenant. My contentment is in the Lord. I want to ask you the question here this morning. Do you know Him? I'm not going to go further than this. I'm going to leave you wanting more, I hope. Do you know Him, Faith Church? Are you intimately acquainted with Him? And let me ask you a stronger question. Does He know you? Because there's going to be a category of people that at the end of their lives, they're going to think that they're going to enter into heaven. But there is a sobering word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Depart from me, I don't know you. Do you know what that word know is in the Greek? Gnosko. I am not intimately acquainted with you. And the Bible says, the scripture records, but we cast out devils in your name. But we healed the sick in your name. We prophesied in your name. That shows you that you can work the works of God without walking with God. You can preach and have a PS in front of your name and not even know the God you're preaching about. You can have a big church with lots of people and you're a stranger to the King of Glory. My intimacy with God is not based on the crowd that's here today. My intimacy with God is, does my heart know Him? There are many that can only bow and worship God when church is here and everyone's watching. But will your knees hit the floor when nobody's there? Do you cry when nobody else is watching you and that girl that you got a crush on is saying, wow, you're so intimate with Jesus. But when you're by yourself in your home, when there's nobody there clapping for you, can you cry and weep and enjoy His presence? I'm not going to walk down the passage. I don't want to make anyone nervous today. Do you know Him? He says, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice the sin. Because Taylor said it last week, when you know God, you'll obey God. Do you know that intimacy has an evidence? It's called obedience. That obedience to God is a sign to everybody, and it's a sign to God that you really know me. This is one of the pathways I'm going to talk about next week. It's called the way of love and obedience, because the Bible says that those who obey me, they really love me, and they'll be loved by me and loved by my Father. And it says this, I will manifest myself to them. I will reveal myself to them. I will make myself known to them. When you walk upon the path of love for God and obedience to what He says in His word, because His commandments are not burdensome, but they are the blessing to follow what He says in His word. God begins to reveal Himself to you and manifest Himself to you. There are ancient paths that we have to make up our mind, everybody. We're going to walk upon those paths, that I would be someone that knows the Lord. That as it was said in Acts 4:12, that they could see that they have been with Jesus. May God use this church in this hour to raise up people that know the Lord. They know the King of Glory. I'm not preaching about someone I don't know, but I know Him. The one that sticks closer than a brother.
Thank you for listening and connecting with the Faith Church podcast. To stay connected, please be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms at Faith Church Buffalo City. We hope to see you soon.